part of a three-part series on leadership. Let Mr. Frank B. DeSmith with the children Bible study hour, second grade on down for children's Bible time. We've looked at three kings, all the same kingdom, King Saul, ordained, yet certifiably insane. And you probably worked for somebody like that over the years. They were your boss, but they were nuts. King Saul was a boss, and he was absolutely. He had a focus: kill the opposition. He's not first one. He won't be the last king that has ever done that. David learned some valuable lessons. Better to let Saul kill you. Than to learn and adopt the ways of Saul. That's David's lesson. You get that? Saul, his method of leadership was kill people that opposed him. David's philosophy of leadership was better to let Saul kill you than to adopt his ways. Now, Saul's target was God's anointed to replace him, King David. King David is now dead, 2 Samuel chapter 15, long gone. David ascended to the throne, a changed man. His personality, his disposition, forever altered. He's more quiet, more thoughtful, more reflective. His love for God, greater. His songs, different. Some of David's songs are absolutely beautiful. We sang one last Sunday evening. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. A beautiful song. Some of David's psalms are chilling to the bone, dealing with sin and hatred and anger. Others towards him. David's followers, we saw them. Just because you are doing the right thing, it does not mean that those that follow you will do the right thing for the right reason or encourage you to do the right thing. You have to make sure that your faith is stayed on God. David's followers said, be a Saul, kill him. And David had lots of opportunities to do that. But David stayed, he stayed on the Lord. And it is important, vital, if you are going to do the right thing at the right time, for you to have a personal relationship with the Lord. When those are around you are saying, post it! Slash their tires! Bomb their office! And I'll tell you what, there are Christians that will tell you to do that. I have been here long enough that people that have attended over the years have come up and just flat out said, man, if it were me, man, I'd be. And I said, it's not right. It's not biblical. It's not godly. It's wrong. And he said, yeah, but they'd be out of the way. It still doesn't make it right. It makes you a Saul. And it's amazing how many Christians have adopted a Saul-like persona in their approach to problem-solving. Kill the opposition. David's followers, they are following David, but they are a whole lot more like Saul than they are like David. They want to do to Saul what Saul desired to do to David, and David just resisted that. They're blind with hatred, blinded to the things of God, blind with hatred for Saul. But not just Saul. In reality, they were blind with hatred towards anyone in authority. It just happened to be Saul. But really, if they don't change, when David is on the throne, they'll kill him too if they have the chance. And we'll see that tonight in our text. A new guy on the throne, or self-acclaimed king, this third king, his name is Absalom. And let's look at the text, verse chapter 15, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right. But there is no man deputed of the king, deputized, decided, appointed, placed in that position, deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man that had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, what a word, he put forth his hand and took and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass that after 40 years, Absalom said unto the king, willing to bide his time. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we look through this text and other texts this evening, a very narrow focus on leadership, that we in this room tonight would purpose in our hearts that we are going to develop a David-like, man after God's own heart, trending upward into the right attitude rather than a Saul mentality, an Absalom mentality. May we understand that there is a difference, and these tendencies exist in every single one of us, that at any moment we could decide that we'd rather be a Saul than a David. I pray that you'd help us speak to our hearts this evening. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. A self-made king, self-appointed king, the kingship of Absalom. Now, if you look on the kings of the Old Testament chart of the kings, you will not see Absalom. He's not there. He is self-appointed himself. And I say, Preacher, really? Isn't that a stretch? Look over to chapter 16. Start reading at verse 9. And this is chapter 16. The coup has taken place. Absalom, in chapter 15, you see him deporting himself as a king. He's got people running in front of his chariots like the Secret Service, which is what a king would do. Chapter 16, the rebellion is in full swing, and he's moving. He's taken over things. He's taken over the kingdom. He's got a following. He got following. Let's start at verse 9. Abishai, the son of Zariah, said unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, take off his head. And the king said, What have I done to you, ye sons of Zariah? Let him curse. Now, again, notice there the response, the David response. Saul would have had him killed. Absalom would have had him killed. David said to Abishai, to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more may this Benjamite do? Let him alone. And let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along on the hillside over against them, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. The king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Verse 15, And Absalom and all the people, men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Jerusalem, capital, if you will. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king! God save the king! And you can tell me that Absalom didn't view himself as king, but the biblical text would disagree with you. Everybody recognized him as king. And Hushai, in order to disguise himself as a friend of David, addressed Absalom the way Absalom wanted to be addressed, and that was as king. God save the king. What was he doing? He was pledging his allegiance, and he was stoking Absalom's ego. And he was successful. Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this a kindness to thy friend?" Because he knew that he was a friend of David's. "And wentest thou not with thy friend?" And Hushai said unto Absalom, "Nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? So I have served in thy father's presence, so I will be with thy presence." And then they went on to give counsel, but just to say, just to show that in the Bible text, that Absalom liked to be referred to as king, and people knew that, and they addressed him as such. some would debate that, but 2 Samuel 16:15 is pretty clear. Absalom relished the term. God-given? No. No. God allowed. God allow you to do things. There are those in history that have been given power by God. Saul, let's just start with Saul. Saul had power. He had armies. He defeated enemies. He did mighty works. And when he had a spear, if he didn't like you, he threw it. His goal, to kill you. Hatred. He attacked. He plotted. History and the passing of time reveals a great deal about leadership. Give it time. It'll show itself. History and the passing of time will reveal a great deal about you. And who you are. And what you desire. And what your heart's desire is. There have no doubt been people over the years that I have said, "Man, well, that's a good person," but time has shown that they are not. Our insurance company says, watch somebody for at least 6 months. Because in 6 months, it's hard for a fraud to disguise his failures. David, and having people follow him, did not speak of blind loyalty. Saul did. Absalom did. But David did not. There are many in our circles today, many pastors, that they'll preach messages on loyalty and demand blind loyalty. And you've not heard me preach one of those messages. Because I do not think you should be loyal to me. I think you should be loyal to God and to God's Word. Amen. See, David was not worried about people being loyal to him. He wanted people to be loyal to God. And that's the David type of leadership. But I'll just say, and many of you have been around long enough that you've been under pastors that have demanded that loyalty, 100% loyalty from the people that follow them in the congregation. I'll just say that's a Saul quality. That's not a David quality. David did not kill Saul. And David will not kill this new threat. He will not. Why? Because David grasps a quality of leadership that is so important in our world today. And that quality of leadership is this: I serve at the pleasure of Almighty God. I care not for the position that I have. I serve at the pleasure of Almighty God. And if somebody else has that position, God puts somebody else there or allows somebody to be there, I'm okay with that. That's a David quality. That is a David quality that is needed in our pulpits. That is a David quality that is needed in our Sunday school classes. That is a David quality that is needed in our elected offices here at the church. And our men have, by and large, displayed that quality over the years. Tom Oldenburg said, this year, I think, and Tom is sick tonight, called in, pray for him, feeling under the weather. Tom said, I just feel like that somebody younger, some new blood ought to be in there, and I'm going to step aside from being a deacon. What does that? That's a David quality. That's not a Saul quality. Saul quality say, I'm going to keep this position no matter what. No matter who wants me out, no matter who wants me gone, I don't care, I'm going to keep it, and I'll kill anybody who opposes me. That's Saul. That's not David. So, if you want to be a David, embrace this. I serve at the pleasure of Almighty God. The position should not have and be our primary focus. Our primary focus should be that I serve at the hand of Almighty God. And that'll help you out with a lot of drama that comes along the way. There are lots of people that have put themselves into positions of leadership. That's just kind of an interesting little study. Steve Ogier has been in the news in the last several years. He lives in the rural part of the island of Guernsey, which is a part of Britain. He flies on his little piece of property a flag that is red, yellow, and green. Here's the problem. Guernsey is part of Britain, and it had fortifications during World War II. And on his little piece of property, he has a couple of bunkers. And he decided that he wanted to build a little house on his little piece of property, but the zoning board said to him, you can't build on the property because it's not been zoned for residential. And he said, well, I got two bunkers here. I'm going to convert those bunkers into housing. And they said, you can't do that because that's not zoned for residential, regardless of whether or not it has a bunker there. So Mr. Steve said, you know what? I'm just going to declare this my own country. And so he has you got to love the guy. He's got a 3rd-acre property on this island, and he's got his own flag. He's got it on top of one of those bunkers. You can go look and see his picture. And he has declared the country of Everland, not to be confused with Neverland, Everland. He is the king of Everland. And so he just started building because he's the king, right, of his 1/3 of an acre on this island. And so he started to build, and of course, government came after him and said, you can't build. He ended up in court. I don't know, 20-some court appearances, thousands of British pounds that he's lost. He's gone to jail a couple of times. They have finally evicted him from his country. You can go that route. You can. Declare yourself the little king of your little castle and your little neighborhood and make your own laws and think that you're not subject to any of God's laws. I just tell you, it would be better to have the attitude of David, and that is, I serve at the pleasure of Almighty God. It'll help you. A lot of problems. Not Absalom. Not Absalom. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. Start reading at verse 28. Here's Absalom. Now he's biding his time. He's just waiting. Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent to Joab to have him sent to the king, but he would not come to him. Who are you? Why are you calling for me? I don't answer to you. You're not my boss. And when he came not, when he sent again, Absalom sent again to him the second time to Joab, and he didn't come. Verse 30, therefore he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. So if you're an Absalom, that's what you do. The scorched earth policy. Just drop a bomb. Go set their house on fire. You'll get their attention. He got Joab's attention. In verse 31, Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? What are you doing? Why did you set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, because I sent unto thee. Well, who are you? Who are you? He's already the self-appointed king. Kings do that. Wait a minute, not King David's. King Saul's do that. Absalom may be the son of David, but he has adopted the personalities of Saul. Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come to, from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me." So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. And that's a quality of David, to forgive. That's Christ-like, is it not? Now, wait a minute. This is a guy that's setting people's fields on fire, demanding an audience. Do you think, especially knowing what you've already read, do you think for a moment that Absalom is sincere in his repentance? And not a chance. Do you think David knows that? I suspect that he does. But David forgives him anyways. Why? Because that's Christ-like. Remember, David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was trending upward toward God and to the right, towards God, doing the right thing. Did David always do the right thing? No. I seem to remember sometime when he took Bathsheba and had Bathsheba's husband killed. That's pretty raw. What is that? That's exactly what Saul would do. I just say, about the time you think, and be careful, because just about the time you think, I'm a man after God's own heart, that pride kicks in and sends you down a pathway that'll make you shake your head. David, he just shook his head in shame. What was I thinking? Well, how could I do such a thing? Because even though you develop David qualities, even though you desire to be a man after God's own heart, if you don't walk in the Spirit every day, at any time, at any moment, you can grab a spear and throw it at somebody. Absalom is a rebel. He's a thief. He steals. But here's an interesting thing about Absalom. He found people to follow him. Remember I said earlier that those that have a problem with Saul's leadership have a problem with leadership across the board. And they'll follow you if you're defeating their enemy, and they'll turn on you the minute that you no longer serve their purpose. You can find people to follow you down the wrong path. They're out there. There are Absaloms in our churches. There are Absaloms in the Christian community. There are Absaloms all over the place. Miss Bishop and I were just newly married. We were in church, and something came up. I was not a deacon. I wasn't a pastor. Just church goer. I was working on a police department, and they did something financially in church. It was a business meeting, and they said, "Are there any questions?" And I asked a question, and they weren't paying their teachers. The teachers had gone unpaid for a couple of weeks, but they were buying brass railing for the church. And it just didn't make sense to me. So I said, why are we spending $20,000 to buy brass railings and we got staff members that didn't get a paycheck this week? And they explained to me that's the church ministry, and this is the church ministry, and the brass railings are for the church, and that's the school ministry. Brother Bishop, isn't the school a ministry of the church? And so just ask some questions. And in the end, they voted to put the brass railings up there, and the staff still went unpaid. But after that meeting, a guy came up to me and he said, "Let's take the pastor out." I just looked at him and I said, What are you talking about? He said, "I heard you ask the question tonight. Those are legitimate questions. I'm a church member." They said, "Is there any questions?" I just asked what I thought were a couple of common sense questions. I said, but if you think this guy is a rebel, and that I have put a bullseye on the preacher, Man, you have misjudged me, buddy. I want no part of that. And I walked away. And he never talked to me again. Well, I'll tell you what. You want to be a rebel, you'll find people to follow you. And they'll crawl out from the cracks of the floor. But it doesn't make Absalom right. It doesn't make him right. David is unafraid of Absalom. David makes no defense for what is going on. Because he does not care whether or not he is dethroned. What is sad, and this is dangerous, are you with me? It is really easy to look at somebody else, maybe one of your children, and to point your finger at them and say, buddy, you are a Saul. Boy, the preacher was talking about you tonight. That's easy to do. What is more difficult is to see Saul in the mirror of your own actions. And that's the dangerous thing about power and leadership. It's easy to identify wrongs in somebody else, but not ourselves. And to show you how prolific that is and how dangerous it is, the prophet came up to David to talk to him about his sin with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah the Hittite. And the prophet came up with this. There was a man, he had a sheep, and the sheep precious. And David said, the guy was wrong, kill him. You should be killed. And the prophet looked at David and said, poof, thou art the man. What could David see? David could see it in someone else, but he could not see it in himself. He could not see it in the mirror. And that's dangerous, dangerous. Here we are in our text. We've gone full circle. Saul is dead. David is the king. David is, he is now at the age that Saul was when he was hunting David. Absalom is now at the age where David was when he was hiding from Saul. Will David keep the same heart trending towards God? Will he treat the up and coming rebel Absalom as with the same respect and revere that he treated the man that mistreated him, Saul? I just say that because as I study the text and human depravity, it's one thing to look at a Saul who is in leadership above you and say, no, I'm not going to touch that. But it's another thing altogether to finally be in the position of power and to say, I may have put up with that when I was a little guy, but now I'm the big guy and you ain't messing with me. And to have Absalom killed. And he could have done it. So the question, will David treat the rebel as Saul treated him? And the answer is, no, he will not. Why? Because David is trending up and to the right. Which is why he is known as a man after God's own heart. Turn to me chapter 15. Look at verse 10. Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Now, there's another king reference there, just for those of you that are counting. With Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, had people following him. And they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifice. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. What are you going to do? And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee. For we shall not escape, not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overcome us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the swords. Notice verse 15. And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatever soever my lord the king shall appoint. What is that? To me, that's a veiled act of respect from guys that have followed him that know better than to say, kill him. Because that's the king's son. That's sensitive. They could have. But instead, they said, we're ready to do whatever you want us to do. What is not said is probably what they intended to say. And that's, even if you want us to go, kill your son. And we'll do that. And David said, no, I won't do that. Why? Because, again, David did not care about the position. He didn't care about the power. David only cared about serving the Lord. He served at the pleasure of Almighty God. But there are lots of people that are opposite. King Zog is an interesting guy. He is a self-made monarch of Albania. Back in 1922. He ruled from 1922 to 1939. And then the communists came over, World War II, and he died in France in exile. And you can appoint yourself the king. You can even serve for a while. But if your sole desire is to be king, no matter what the cost, you're going to live a life of disappointment. Christian, if your sole desire is to serve at the pleasure of Almighty God, you're going to love every single day. Which is why, when I'm out and about, how are you doing today? Living the dream, living the dream. I am living the dream every single day. God allows me to live. He allows me to serve. He allows me to preach. He allows me to minister to people. He allows me to go soul winning. I get paid to study the Bible. I mean, this is incredible opportunity. Every day is a gift. And any day, that can be gone. Any day. God removed that. Do you serve at the pleasure of the king? When that day comes, you're going to be just fine. But if you serve for the pleasure of power and the applause of people, it's a life of misery. If the guy you're following, you think, is the up-and-coming Absalom, you might want to be careful, because Absalom's going to be out of power here pretty quickly. It never ends well for the rebel. It just doesn't. Chapter 15, verse 4. We'll start at verse 1. It came to pass after this, Absalom prepared himself chariots and horses, 50 men to run before him. Absalom rose up early. Look at verse 4. Absalom said, Moreover, oh, that I were made to judge, and that every man that had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Confident. Who is Absalom? He was confident. He was discerning. I just put a list here. He was charismatic. He was charming. He was pleasant to the eyes. People looked at him and said, Wow, man, that is a true leader. Here's the thing. They were absolutely wrong. Absalom wasn't a true leader. Absalom was a rebel. Through and through, that was his leadership. God must be. Absalom must be God's appointed leader. I mean, he listens to my problems, he provides solutions, he is a powerful writer of wrongs. This Absalom must be of God. You'd be absolutely wrong, because he wasn't. Have a following? Yes. People that united after him? Yes. That doesn't make a God-appointed leader, a man after God's own heart. Absalom is a textbook case of man-appointed, man-based leadership. Absalom is indeed a Saul on steroids. You thought Saul was bad? Absalom is going to make him look like a Sunday school kid. But he is no David. Again, understand, Absalom had a following. Absalom could draw a crowd. He appeared to be a man of wisdom. He drew the frustrated. He stoked their ego. And he said, I should be your leader. And they said, you're just the man we're looking for. But he was not a man after God's own heart. If I were your leader, and the rebellion was ignited, a rebellion that had been in his heart for years and had been in their heart for years, over the years, I have seen and placed people in leadership. I'm sure you have as well. I give great freedom. I am not a micromanager by any stretch of the imagination. But over the years, I have watched people that have taken that leadership and they have literally been a Saul. And I called them into the office and said, "Hey, you're in a position of leadership." And they said, Yep. And I said, "How do you like it?" "Oh man, I love it. Control of others." I said, "Yeah, that's a Saul tendency. And if that's the kind of leadership you want, I can be a Saul. But I'm not going to allow you to be that kind of leadership, to treat people that way. I'm not going to allow you to be an Absalom. I'm not going to empower you." Lighthouse Baptist Church, our deacons are not going to empower you to be an Absalom or to be a Saul in the way you treat Sunday school kids or junior church kids or anything. We're just not going to allow you to treat people that way because it's not right. It's not right. But that tendency is in all of us. I can tell you that every single time those people have said, "I don't want to be a Saul." Wonderful. Then we're going to get along just fine. I want to be a David. I want to be a man after God's own heart. Okay. These are some things you need to change because those characteristics are Saul tendencies. I just say it's there. And you can say it doesn't exist in you. But I can tell you as I have studied this and as on a daily basis as I am called upon to make decisions, I just tell you... that the temptation to be a Saul is really strong. And I have to fight it. And you have to fight it if you want to be a David. This morning I said I would answer this question tonight. We had the timeline stretched across here. We had creation going all the way over to the Great White Throne Judgment, and we had up to Genesis 12, 2,000 years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 12, and then 2,500 years from Genesis 12 to Matthew chapter 1. We had those numbers up here, and you think, and people have asked me, "Really? We had 10 billion people in Genesis chapter 6. Is that true? There are 10 billion people on the earth?" Yep, that's the estimates. Based on the genealogies and life expectancy and kids, just yeah. How is it that today, 2024, we only have 8.1 billion? I mean, how is that even possible? Well, people don't live as long. We die 70. Nobody's living to be 950 years, so those people are gone. This is an interesting list. The 20 most ruthless leaders in the world, in world history. Making the top 20, top 25. Making the top 25 were Kim Jong the Second and Lenin. They made the list of the top 25, but not the top 5. Number 8 was interesting, Pol Pot. And he killed millions of people. Cambodia. Stalin was number 4. Hitler was number 2. What did he do? Killed millions of people. And he was a number 2. Who's number 1? Mao Zedong of China. It is estimated that he personally had killed 6 million people over a 5-year period just by saying, "I don't like them, kill them." They were called indiscriminate death sentences. If he didn't like you or like your tribe or like your region, he cut you off. It is estimated that during his reign, he killed an additional 20 million people in his country by starvation. Now, do you want to know why? Today, we're at 8.2 billion as opposed to 10 billion in Genesis chapter 6. And we got a lot of people out there that just kill people. If you were a political enemy, he just had you killed. Here's one man that in his reign killed at least 26 million people. 26 million people that are not alive. 26 million people that did not have children. 26 million people that did not live to have grandchildren or be grandchildren. 26 million people just wiped out. Now, there are lots of Sauls out there. There are lots of Kim Jongs, Lenins, Pol Pots, Stalins, Mao Zedong, Hitlers. But doesn't make it right. They all had followings. They did. Doesn't make it right. But tonight, I don't think any of you have the power to kill millions of people. But if I could get you to understand that tendency of Saul and Absalom are under the surface, and you can guard against it and strive to be a David, then we'll have made great strides in becoming a church after God's own heart. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Last 3 weeks have been an interesting study in the depravity of human character. Many times when a pulpit committee is looking for a pastor, and over the years I've had opportunities to be called, not to go, but to ask if I knew any candidates or anybody available. And after talking with the pulpit committee, I have come to the conclusion that the pulpit committee were little Sauls and little Absaloms, and they didn't want a pastor. Over the years, a candidate has called me up and said, "Hey, I'm looking at this church. What do you think about it? Go in there." I said, man, I'd run for your life, buddy. They're killers. They're Sauls. I'm just saying, the tendency is out there. We do not want to be a church that is known as a Saul, a bunch of little Sauls or little Absaloms running around. We want to be a church after God's own heart, church that is trending upward and to the right. And if that's what you want to be, and that's what you desire to be, and if you'll look for those Saul tendencies in your heart, God will reveal them. You'll see them in the mirror. And the first time you see it in yourself, it's frightening. But it'll help you if you look in the mirror. You're here tonight, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. "Pastor, I've never trusted Christ. Will you pray for me?" Slip your hand up, hold it up for a moment. "I've never trusted Christ. I need to be saved. I absolutely need that. God is speaking to my heart. Will you pray for me?" Christian here tonight, the question is for you. No hands to be raised, just an altar that will be open. Do you desire to be a David? Let's stand to our feet. Piano is playing, the altar is open.